VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, there is so much happening in our world today. We will have some comments on this matter of Iran with the direct attack on Israel. But our main focus today is going to be focusing on the new World Health Organization pandemic treaty. It's been unveiled, the new WHO pandemic treaty. Steadily, the intergovernmental negotiating body of the World Health Organization has been meeting and refining the pandemic treaty in preparation for the 77th World Health Assembly taking place May 27th through June 1st in Geneva, Switzerland. Indeed, just hours ago, I downloaded the provisional agenda for this World Health Assembly, and on this agenda is item 13.4, Intergovernmental Negotiating Body to Draft and Negotiate a WHO Convention Agreement or Other International Instrument on Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response. Multiple planning meetings have been underway since the last World Health Assembly, and in recent weeks, the World Health Organization released their revised draft of this pandemic agreement. Joining us today, we welcome back Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver. He is a founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, host of radio broadcast of Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call, heard over this network. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you, as always.
And, Matt, just before we get into this treaty itself, my direct assault on the sovereignty of the United States we see in this treaty, but we must bring up this direct attack on Israel launched by Iran this past Saturday. Matt, the Israeli Defense Forces indicate over 350 suicide drones, cruise missiles, and rockets fired upon Israel. Your response to what transpired this weekend?
Yes, and they targeted, you know, places that they had no respect for innocent human life. But this is Iran, and this is what they ultimately want to do, is totally eliminate and destroy Israel. And, of course, Israel's not their last target. It's their first target. Their targets would also include Europe and certainly the United States of America. But the amazing thing is that Iran's targeting, let's look at the drones. Not a single one of them entered Israeli airspace. You know, some surface-to-air missiles, went into, a few of them got past the Iron Dome and all the other security measures to shoot these rockets out of the sky. Cruise missiles did not. But a few of them, they landed in some open field down in the south, and just had maybe a 30-foot crater in the sand near an Air Force base, but the Air Force base never ceased its operations. But here's the amazing thing. I think what this did is show the world and Iran, of course they're giving false propaganda to their people, but it showed the world and Iran that Israel has an amazing system. Obviously, prayer protected Israel. But Israel has an amazing system to be able to block these assaults coming from Iran, which that gives a lot of comfort and a lot of hope. But it also ought to send a message to Iran that Israel can put up these shields that are highly advanced, and they literally, I don't know if anyone's listening had a chance to see these in operation, but I've seen many videos of these in operation, and it's amazing how they actually shoot these missiles out of the sky in midair. And, of course, shrapnel will fall to the ground, but it explodes in midair and protects human life. So it is an amazing defense system that Iran was not able to penetrate. With these 350-plus drones and missiles that were launched into Israel, 99% of those, 99% were stopped. Not a single drone entered into airspace. They were all stopped. Now what happens is I think Israel must not just simply say, well, they were able to stop the assault on the land. They've got to go in and they've got to take out some strategic locations within Iran. There are actually Iranians that are actually asking for Israel to come and do that, because there's a lot of Iranian people that do not like the existing regime. So you have to make a distinction between the Iranian people and the regime of the Ayatollahs. And there's a huge difference between the two. So, you know, here I think Israel now should go in, must go in, and they need to target some of the nuclear facilities and some of the other strategic locations where they've launched these missiles from Iran.
You know, Matt, what you're saying is what they must do is totally contrary to what the Biden administration is saying. I mean, Israel is being told, do not retaliate, you know, in this, just let bygones be bygones, you know, in essence. Israel, to do so would be a sure sign of weakness, would it not?
It would be a sure sign of weakness. It would embolden Iran that they can just simply lob, you know, 350-plus missiles and drones shot into Israel within a short period of time. And then no retaliation? No, they can't do that. If the United States had 350 drones and missiles shot at the United States Capitol, and we were able to shoot them down, would we not retaliate against that? I mean, we did that with regards to, and we would protect the sovereignty of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't keep doing that. Israel did this many times when the Hamas in Gaza would shoot rockets into civilian places. Israel would fire a few back, and then they would stop because the Biden administration or the international community would say, stop. Now, you know, it's like enough is enough is enough.
Yeah.
They had to go into Gaza and they had to totally crush Hamas. The same thing needs to happen in Lebanon, but certainly it has to happen in Iran because Iran is the sponsor of terror, whether it's in Gaza, Yemen,
yeah,
or Lebanon or Syria. It's all being fueled from the serpent in Iran, and they need to cut off the serpent's head.
Yeah, its fingerprints are everywhere, and through all of these proxies that have been attacking Israel, Iran has been at the center of this. And Matt, I mean, sadly, under the Biden regime, we have freed up so much money to give to Iran. The Iran deal that the Obama administration put out, and then former President Trump moved away from that, and the floodgates have just been opened cash wise, and lifting of sanctions against Iran and oil. I mean, because we have cut back our oil production here in the United States so dramatically, Iran is reaping huge benefits as a result of marketing their oil.
Yeah, they're selling it to Russia and other places because we've cut back. I mean, Biden has empowered these terrorists. One of the things that you realize against these terrorists, particularly those Islamic terrorists, you don't negotiate with them like you typically would with, you know, Western-thinking people. They have an idea that they're going to just commit suicide, and all the better for it, for their view. And, you know, they have a long-term goal as well, and they can lie to you. Whatever the ultimate objective is, they were going to be patient to achieve it. And the ultimate objective is total world domination, a total world caliphate. That's what they want. That's what the Iranian regime wants. And for Biden to give them any money like he has done, he has actually empowered Iran to do exactly what it did. And we need to send a very strong message. You know, it's interesting. I never thought I would see this, Jim, but even Senator John Fetterman, he's coming out against the Biden administration over several things, over the open borders, over the Biden administration's pushing of the WHO, the World Health Organization, and now very strong advocate of Israel opposing the Biden administration and saying to the Biden administration, we need to stand strong with Israel, especially at a time like this when they were attacked.
Well, friends, Matt Stiver with us, some comments. We're going to be transitioning here to the WHO pandemic treaty, but tonight on TV 30's In Focus program, we're going to go into great detail with pastor and Bible prophecy teacher Dr. Richard Schmidt of Prophecy Focus Ministries, and we'll be delving more into the Iran war upon Israel. 7 o'clock Central Time tonight. Anyone in the country can have access at vcy.tv. vcy.tv. This is repeated also noon on Tuesday. Well, Matt, the battlefront is multifaceted, and we also need to address another aspect of the battle that's been kind of, well, it's been behind so many scenes here. It's not been front and center in the news, and it's the pandemic treaty that's coming up before the 77th World Health Assembly next month in Geneva, Switzerland. The Biden administration doesn't refer to this as a treaty by any means. They're calling it just an agreement or an accord. And it very much is a treaty. And Matt, this thing is also just like a deadly snake about to strike at the sovereignty of the United States.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is a pandemic treaty. And of course, a pandemic, any kind of a treaty needs to be affirmed or ratified by 2/3 vote of the United States Senate. So they're not going to get 2/3 vote of the United States Senate on this kind of a treaty, especially when it jeopardizes American sovereignty. They just won't get it. So they're trying to recategorize it as a pandemic agreement so that we don't need to get the 2/3 vote. So that's what they're doing. It's calling it a pandemic agreement. It's a treaty, and there's two different things that we're looking at. There's that document that's a pandemic treaty slash agreement, and then there's also amendments, 300-plus amendments, to the existing international health regulations of the WHO, 307-plus amendments. And those are just as bad, and the Biden administration is pushing to sign on those amendments and also to sign the pandemic agreement coming up at the end of May in Geneva, Switzerland. So the question that you ask is, well, how can he do that unilaterally? Well, if you look at a couple of things from history, you see, for example, George H.W. Bush, back in 1992, he moved forward with a climate change treaty that was ratified. And then when the Obama-Biden administration, Barack Obama, signed America onto the Paris Agreement, also called the Paris Accord. And that was an extension, a modification, an amendment to that original treaty. Now, did he get 2/3 vote? No. He just simply unilaterally signed us on. And now if you go to the UN's website, it will say that the Paris Agreement is a legally binding agreement enforceable under international law. It will list the nations that are signatories, including the United States. It will put the United States in a footnote that will give some of the history that under President Trump, he gave notice to opt America out of the Paris Agreement, just like he did for the WHO. But under these agreements, these treaties, once you sign on to them, if the president gives notice to opt out, there is a time that you have to wait before it's effective. Had he gotten a second term, we would be out of the WHO. We mm-hmm. would be out of the Paris Agreement, that climate agreement. But with Biden coming in, he opted us right back in. So the requisite time to opt out did not transpire. So the United States is legally bound by what Barack Obama unilaterally signed, and he did this arguing that he didn't need to get authority from the United States Senate of 2/3 vote because he was just amending an existing treaty that he could unilaterally do. So Barack Obama did this with Biden. Joe Biden is following Barack Obama's template, and he's trying to do the same thing with the WHO, calling this an agreement and then signing also these 300-plus amendments to the international health regulation.
Friends, it's atrocious, absolutely atrocious what is going on. It's a direct, an attack on our Constitution. It's an attack upon our U.S. sovereignty. We're going to delve further into this new pandemic treaty as, friends, it's on the docket for voting on at the end of next month. We'll be back in 1 minute with Matt Staver here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast did the animals migrate away from Ararat after Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible tells us that after the flood, God commanded the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that they did, migrating to fill the earth. There are some modern-day examples of rapid animal spreadings, several coming from the island continent of Australia, which until recently had no mammals. Now, rabbits are nearly epidemic. Another example would be a particular kind of toad that was introduced in Australia back in the 1930s, and then just 10 years later was observed over 1,000 miles away. Surely the biblical concept of migration to fill the earth is not only possible, but quite plausible. Besides that, it's true, because we're told about it back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more info on Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. And friends, it's a multi-pronged war that we're engaged in. And yes, we're continuing to monitor what is happening with Israel and Israel's response to Iran see that unfold. Meanwhile, other missiles have come from the north. Sirens have sounded in Israel. We continue to monitor this situation. Also, we must alert you. As a watchman, we must alert you to what is taking place in Geneva, Switzerland at the end of next week and end of next month. That's the 77th World Health Assembly. And part of this is the pandemic treaty. They have unveiled an updated version of this treaty. We're discussing it today with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. Friends, they've been writing on it. You can see more at lc.org and lcaction.com. lcaction.com. But Matt, as I started making my way through this revised draft, I kept seeing this word equity and equitable 28 times in this 29-page document. So I believe it's important that we point out exactly what this means.
Yeah, equity is not the same as equality. Equity is guaranteeing outcomes, not giving equal opportunity for people to compete or to be treated equally. It is picking winners and picking losers and guaranteeing an outcome irrespective of your qualifications or your eligibility. So when they say equity, say, for example, part of this document wants to impose global universal health care. They said that the entire document, the entire agreement, needs to be implemented in accordance with equity. So when we're talking about global health care or distribution of medicine, they will distribute it or they will cover people based upon, quote, vulnerable populations, based upon race or sexual orientation, LGBTQ, et cetera, et cetera. So they will give preference to certain groups that they want to have as their outcome to the exclusion of other groups. So people are not going to – so, for example, let's just put it in the United States. Say, for example, you had a drug that would help cure certain diseases or some kind of pandemic, for example. Not the situation we just went through with COVID because that was a mess. But say you had a drug and now you wanted to distribute it to a community. But you're now doing it based upon equity. It doesn't mean everybody then has access to it. It means only those people that fit their criteria. Only somebody who is gender confused, we're going to give it only to them. And then we're only going to give it to certain people based upon race or ethnicity or based on religion. We'll give it to those of certain religions but not of other religions. So you will be excluded from that category, or you will be included based upon your skin color, your ethnicity, your religion, or whether you are coming from a poor area, a rich area. All of that will be taken into consideration. And who's going to make that determination? That will be somebody with the World Health Organization, primarily their executive, their director general, who is a known Marxist, who will be the one making those kinds of decisions.
Well, man, and I find it interesting that, and there are so many aspects of this equitable, and again, virtually every page you're going to see this on here, but this is even control over the supply chain of around the world. And I see, and I'm reading right from Article 13 of the document, the Global Supply Chain and Logistics Network is hereby established. The network shall be developed, coordinated, and convened by WHO in partnership with the parties and other relevant international regional stakeholders and shall be guided by the principles of equity, transparency, inclusivity, timeliness, fairness, and consideration of public health needs.
Yeah, so that means when you're having imports, exports, or production, because in addition to controlling imports and exports of a nation, what comes in, say, to the United States, what the United States sends out, that will be based upon the WHO's version of equity. So whether we get certain things to the United States, it may not come to the United States. The United States may order certain things be part of the production process of whatever it might be, cars or whatever it might be. But because the United States is, quote, a rich nation compared to some other, quote, unquote, poor nations, That distribution may be stopped at our border, so we may not even be able to get mm-hmm. some of those raw materials or those other materials to make certain products. On the other hand, if we have certain manufacturing companies, say, let's go back to COVID and take, for example, the mask mandates. Now they want to create more masks, and so they want to then force companies to convert their warehouses to mask-making companies so that they could produce more masks. Well, those masks, so that's part of what they would actually do, is they would impose production criteria and production you know, demands. But then where do those masks go? Do they go to the United States? Well, depends upon what the WHO says. So the WHO could essentially conscript some of our companies through pressure to make a certain product, whether it's drugs or some other kinds of things, and then export that to other countries so that we don't even get the benefit of it. So we're the ones producing things that the WHO wants, but we're having to export that to other countries of their choosing. That's the context of equity within the WHO.
Yeah, and here's another example, and that is, Matt, we have national stockpiles for different items. It may even be petroleum. It could be any number of issues that we have national stockpiles. And according to this document, each party shall ensure that any national stockpiles do not unnecessarily exceed quantities needed for domestic public health emergency preparedness and response. So the higher-ups at the WHO, the Secretariat, can determine, you know, United States, you have too much of this in your stockpile. Let's send it over to Venezuela. Let's send it to communist China. Let's send it to North Korea. I mean, that would give them the prerogative to do so.
Yeah, it would absolutely give them the prerogative to do so. So how would they control this? Well, you know, this is a UN agency, and part of the UN agency is the World Trade Organization, the WTO. So they have all kinds of mechanisms that the WHO, the World Health Organization, would be able to use on a global scale to regulate imports, exports, production, travel, all kinds of implications that are with this WHO. And what you would have is, frankly, a one-world government. And I know that sounds like histrionic. Is that really true? Would you actually have a one-world government? If this document is signed, if America signs on to it, yeah, you're going to have a one-world mm-hmm. government run by a Marxist organization. You know, we talked at the very beginning about Israel. Well, who chairs the disarmament conference in the United Nations? It's Iran. That's the kind of insanity that's in the UN right now, and this is part of the UN. This kind of insanity, given this kind of power over global health, which includes, frankly, anything under the rubric of health, would give into the hands of this UN agency the power to control the world and certainly the power to control the United States of America. And so when we wanted to challenge these restrictions or these mandates during COVID, we were able to go to the United States courts. If we had this in place, the United States courts don't have jurisdiction. We have to go to a world court over in The Hague or in Geneva. That's where we would be, and we wouldn't be able to use our constitutional guarantee. It'd be some other, you know, international agreement that we have to use as a, you know, our defense.
Yeah, and there's no wiggle room in the treaty. I mean, over and over it says the party shall, each party commits. I mean, we see these words over and over.
164 times it uses the word shall, that the party shall. That's a directive. That's mandatory. That's not discretionary. So when the WHO says something, the parties shall, and that would be the United States of America. So why is Biden wanting to do this? Well, I think there's obviously not a respect for America. That's obvious.
Right.
But, you know, he has been shot down time and time and time again in the U.S. courts over his mandates and what he wants to do. This would take it out of the U.S. courts. And it would allow a very radical abortion, LGBTQ, climate change, you name it, agenda from a World Health Organization perspective that's not subject to the United States courts.
Yeah, and I think that's very important to point out, Matt, because over and over again, we see that sort of nomenclature in this document. For instance, on page 9, each party commits to take the necessary steps to ensure decent work conditions and a safe and healthy environment for other essential workers that provide essential public goods and services during pandemics. And I read that, man. I said, how do we handle this? In the last pandemic, abortion clinics were deemed essential. Churches were non-essential.
Right, and you saw the word essential there. So, and we know how that was used. Abortion clinics, like you said, were essential. Churches were not essential. And this was done in part by WHO guidelines, and these were sent around the world, and different governments used them, and they caused all kinds of damage, and they were nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
But this would now give the WHO binding global authority to say that attendance at church is not essential, but access to abortion is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And if the United States didn't abide by it, or some state didn't abide by it, sanctions would be imposed on the United States of America, and other nations would have to comply with those sanctions. So we would have a direct impact, even if we wanted to resist, we would have a direct impact on the United States of America because of the WHO.
Now, Matt, some would say, Matt Stever, Liberty Counsel, he hasn't read the document. Let me go to page number 25 because it says, nothing in the WHO pandemic treaty shall be interpreted as providing the WHO secretariat, including the WHO director general, any authority to direct, order, alter, or otherwise prescribe the domestic laws or policies of any party, or mandate or otherwise impose requirements. We can't force you this. We can't impose vaccine mandates. I mean, it says so right there, but all you got to do is read the previous page, Matt, and says every party shall submit to the conference of the parties through the secretariat.
Yeah, yeah. So it has that at the very end. It's kind of like a spin, you know, for a media. And then it points to that. You can point to that. But when you read the document, that's not at all what the document says. The
exactly.
document has, like I said, shall 164 times. That doesn't sound like, you can take it or leave it as long as it doesn't interfere with your sovereignty. At some point, it suggests that, you know, individual sovereignty is not going to be affected unless you're operating outside of the WHO's mm-hmm. directive. Then we will bring you in line. So nation states, they can impose more stricter regulations, but they can't impose less strict regulations than what the WHO requires.
And the U.S. would have one vote, correct?
The U.S. would have one vote, that's right, and the U.S. would have one vote, and consequently, we would be bound by this. It would be, for example, the CDC, instead of having, you know, directives that are just advisory, and you could take it or leave it, this would be mandatory. You know, if they said six-foot distancing, the WHO, then it's six-foot distancing, and you resist it, you have a global authority coming against you. Say, for example, you have Florida that says, well, no, we're going to open up schools as Florida did in September of 2020. And, you know, we had pushback from other states. Well, now if you had a global entity saying, Florida, you back off. And if Florida didn't back off, guess what would happen? Imports, exports, all that would be affected, not just for Florida, but for the entire nation. And that's just the beginning.
Yeah, it is the beginning, friends. And again, it is a total relinquishing of our sovereignty to the World Health Organization and you know, to its socialist communist dictatorship that's coming forth from it. The United States having just one vote equal to the vote of any other country participating in this. Why would we want to surrender our rights? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to delve a little bit further. But friends, it's not all just hopelessness. We're going to also provide you information on what you can do. For instance, there's both a Senate bill and a House bill that have been introduced to not allow this act, no WHO pandemic preparedness treaty without Senate approval act. We'll be telling you about that legislation and the importance of contacting your congressman and senator on the issue. So stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
In the early 20th century, Germany didn't look like a country on the brink of world-shaking terrors. It looked like America today. In Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, he uses history to warn us of a future that none of us wants to see. When a Nation Forgets God is a 145-page book that's 50% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. In this book, Dr. Lutzer studies seven similarities between Nazi Germany and America today, some of them chilling, and cautions us to respond accordingly. The book explains the mess of our nation's government, economy, legal pitfalls, and propaganda, but urges us to speak up, take action, and trust in God. When a Nation Forgets God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer is 50% off through April 30th at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. You can order by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver is with us. Friends, today's program is a warning about what is approaching us very quickly here at the World Health Organization, as they are having the 77th World Health Assembly taking place in Geneva, Switzerland, May 27th through June 1. Some of you are saying, didn't we go down this path last year? What happened? Well, they were able to stave off this from occurring, Matt, and as a result, they have been holding additional meetings and actually been plotting more and more ways to for its implementation and the rules and all of this, but there was at least a year's stay on this matter here, but it's their goal to have this thing passed and have countries start signing on to this from the treaty into the days following.
Yeah, fortunately, last year, some of the African countries banded together and they opposed a vote last year, and that's what kicked it down the road. But they didn't oppose it because they are totally opposed to the WHO. They wanted to not do it piecemeal. In the meantime, Joe Biden and John Kerry went to some other subsequent WHO meetings and promised that the United States would pay billions of dollars for funding health care for these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So now they think, well, they can get a Mayo Clinic at every street corner paid for by the United States of America. So now they have circled back on board again. There is some fracturing of some of this because there's an MP in Uganda that recently raised a concern regarding the lack of transparency for these particular proposals. So there is some pushback. We are wanting to stop this in May, and it's coming up at the end of May. May 27 is when they meet in Geneva, so that we can at least move it down the road to another year and perhaps have a change of leadership in the United States of America that would oppose this WHO takeover and the giving away of our sovereignty. But we need to really push back now to make sure our members of the U.S. House and particularly the United States Senate pass these bills that you'll talk about a little bit later, because it's very, very critical to do so.
You know, you brought it. Let's just go ahead and mention now, and we'll bring it back later again because it's that important. There are two pieces of legislation, Matt. One is S-444. This is a Senate bill. The short title of this, No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act, and in essence treats us for what it is. It is a treaty. It does need a two-thirds vote. And this legislation is saying that we're not going to allow this without Senate approval. And on the House side, it is also H.R. 1425 says the same thing. No, you cannot pass this without the approval of the United States Senate. So, friends, your two U.S. senators can be contacted regarding S-444 and on the House side, H.R. 1425. You can reach out to your members of the Senate, the House, at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. But Matt, let's also mention, we're going to dive back into this treaty here, but states are taking action. There are states that are saying, we're not going this direction, and even if the country does, we're standing against it.
Yeah, the state senate in Louisiana voted 37-0, no WHO, no UN, no World Health, World Economic Forum. Now it goes over to the House, very high chances that it'll pass and get signed. That will be a law in Louisiana. Alabama just passed an anti-WHO resolution, and an anti-WHO resolution has just been filed recently in the state of Tennessee. So there is momentum that is building in multiple states right now.
And friends, again, reaching out to your member of the House of Representatives, reaching out to your two U.S. senators is critically important, because this likely is not going to hold off until the November election. Is a good chance, because the World Health Organization, the Biden administration, is pushing for this to be ratified for countries around the world, and the Biden administration is raising its hand saying, count me in, we want to be a part of this thing. So again, reach out to your two U.S. senators, your member of the House of Representatives at 202-224-3121. 3121. Matt, another item that hit me as I was reading through this document, they talk about one health approach. But as we do that, I find that they're referring to the balancing and optimizing the health of people, animals, and ecosystems. This is placing humanity really on the same level as plants and animals.
You know, I first came across this when I was going through the Orlando airport, and there was a sign there for a student organization that was at Berry University School of Law, and it was called Earth Justice. So I did some research on it. To my surprise, this kind of movement, this environmental movement, if you will, which is what's behind the WHO, actually believes that there's no difference between humans and inanimate objects like rocks or water or trees, and that their slogan was, even the earth needs a lawyer, which means that they believe that the earth has the same kind of constitutional rights that people do, and there's no difference. And so this is the philosophy behind the WHO. It's that same kind of earth justice idea that whether it's trees or animals, rocks, whatever, is on the same legal protection as a human being. And consequently, that has significant ramifications globally in terms of what you can do, where you can live, and so forth and so on. They also want to regulate what you can plant and what you can raise and even what you can eat. So this is, you know, part of Bill Gates trying to move over to synthetic meats. This is not vegetarian or veggie, you know, burgers. This is synthetic-made meats. This is the idea of eliminating and controlling whether you can raise cows, whether you can eat beef, whether you can have certain kinds of growth, plants, animals, and so forth. It is a comprehensive, huge regulatory system under this one health system of the WHO.
Yeah, friends, start getting your palate ready for crickets. Matt, I see the word vaccines coming up often in this document as well.
Yeah, so they also want to, and they're using this as, well, based upon the last pandemic, we need to do this. We need to have more cooperation. So they want to control global vaccines, which isn't just, you know, whether you're going to inject a COVID shot into you, which it includes that. But, for example, right now, if you get all the vaccines in the United States that are required in many of these places around the country, you will have 100-plus vaccines by the time that you graduate from high school. And it's maybe around 120 in some cases. And that includes, you know, your COVID shots and your boosters and so forth. It's amazing how many vaccines that the CDC is now recommending and some of these states are doing. Well, the WHO would do that on a global scale. So they would have a list of vaccines for everybody to get and how many boosters and how many times you need to get it. And if you don't get it, then you will be targeted for less availability to work, go to school, travel about, because the WHO also includes tracking and tracing and digital passports or digital health records so that they can determine whether you got the vaccine of choice recently, whether you're boosted with it, and if you didn't, they would be able to tell where you travel. And if you travel outside of a certain zone or what you're not allowed to do because you don't have the right vaccine, then you will be punished and penalized. So all this is part of this global censorship. It's frankly the worst assault on freedom on a global scale, let alone on a local scale, but on any local scale as well, that we've ever seen. And they will have the ability, if they get this power, to enforce it through this global tracking and tracing system.
Friends, you remember the quotes from Bill Gates, if we do a real good job with vaccinations, we'll be able to save lives and reduce the population at the same time. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what he's meaning by that. And Matt, I know that that is all part of this, as well as, you know, population reduction is very much a part of this. And also, we see also the tracking of individuals through the digital health passports as well.
Yeah, you got the tracking and tracing. For example, remember during COVID, we were litigating in California, and there was a church out there in the Los Angeles area, and it was being threatened to have its utilities and its electric shut off if they didn't stop meeting during the COVID restrictions, although you could go to an abortion clinic, no problem. Now, if there was this tracking and tracing ability and the ability to determine who was going to that particular church, all those individuals, not just the church, they would have their electric and their water shut off, their bank accounts frozen, just like what happened to the people in Canada when the truckers were protesting the lockdowns in Canada. Not only were they targeted, but those who donated to them were targeted as well. This would be the kind of power that the WHO would wield on a global scale. So it's not just whether you can travel outside of the United States someplace else, although that would certainly be affected, but it's whether you can travel to go to school, to go to work, to go to a public park, to visit, go to a wedding, to attend a funeral, to visit somebody in the hospital. We know all too well that draconian restrictions that we face. This would be that on steroids with a real enforceable component to it that we've never seen before.
There's another aspect, and there's so much to unfold here, Matt, but I would like you to comment as well on how anybody that would be providing what they consider to be misinformation or disinformation, how they would be impacted by this.
Yeah, so they call this misinformation and disinformation. We already see, for example, the case that's at the U.S. Supreme Court now where the Biden administration and the various agencies were pressuring social media companies to censor certain things regarding COVID, the lack of safety or efficacy for the shots, the Afghanistan withdrawal, and other things. This would be done on a global scale so that all this censorship would occur. They also have a word that I had never seen before except through the WHO, and it's called infodemic. What's an infodemic? Well, it is too much information. If you get too much information, even if the information is true, the infodemic would happen if that information would undermine your confidence and trust in the institutions of government, or in this case, question the narrative of government. An infodemic would then be declared by the WHO, and they would suppress information, even if it were true. Now, the information, disinformation, that's going to be up to the WHO to determine what that is. But even if they said, well, yeah, this information, even if they agreed, yeah, this is true, there's just too much truth. So we need to censor some of the too much truth.
Right. Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments today, 800-733-9829. We're speaking with Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel. Again, friends, there are two pieces of legislation that have been introduced in the Senate, the United States Senate. It's S-444. S, that just stands for Senate, 444. And then the House side, it's H-R-1425. H-R-1425, and this would require that two-thirds vote, and that treat it just like a treaty would be treated, because this is a treaty, and it's the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act. You can reach out to your members of the House and Senate at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Some of you may be listening and say, oh, but I just have, this person from this particular party. It doesn't matter, folks. They need to hear from you. The pressure, Matt, really needs to go in D.C.
Yeah, the pressure really needs to go into D.C., and time is of the essence for sure. They need to hear from you. Even if you have a member of Congress that's not receptive, you can send a petition or you can send a fax. We have a webpage for you at lc.org/WHO to do so, and time is of the essence to make your voice heard.
lc.org/WHO. Write it down, friends. You can have your petition just go through Liberty Counsel. lc.org/WHO. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, sadly, my friends, we have seen Israel attacked yet again. This time, a direct attack, but not just from Iran. Many are reporting that Iran attacked Israel. True, but it was really more than that. It was the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. And the rockets and the drones were coming in from not just Iran, but also from Yemen, from Iraq, from Syria, and from Lebanon. So let's spread the word, folks. This was not just an attack by Iran. It was an attack by an Islamic bloc of nations. interestingly enough, it's now being admitted by Saudi Arabia themselves that they stepped in to help defend Israel. The Bible speaks of these kind of scenarios playing out. Is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? I believe it is. But sadly, with all this going on, the rise of anti-Semitism is also increasing, which the Bible predicted.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Now, friends, don't make the mistake of saying, well, I contacted my senator a year ago when this thing was up. I contacted my congressman a year ago. Friends, they need to hear from you right now. And you can reach out to your members of the House or Senate and share your view with them. We're not telling you what to say or how to say, but to share your view on this. If you're all for giving away the sovereignty of the United States and your health care decisions to a worldwide body, you've got the right to let them know that. But there are many who are concerned across this nation. You saw the control of government under the COVID pandemic. You saw the control that was there, shutting down your churches, shutting down stores, or telling you which store aisles were essential, what store aisles were not essential. You saw the mandates there as far as masks and businesses not allowing you in. Friends, it would not be your local entities making these decisions. This would be an international agency making these decisions. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And again, your member of Congress at 202-224-3121. Greg in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. This so-called treaty, if it's passing, it's kind of interesting that this is an election year. And if something happens, I mean, could they cancel the elections? I mean, a lot of ramifications on that.
Yeah.
Well, and here's another thing to consider. This is why it's so important to stop this in May, because say there's a change of occupancy in the White House after November, and then you get a new president sworn in January 2025. Well, this treaty would already go into effect because they shortened the window for it. And so could we opt out? Yeah, you can opt out. So if Donald Trump became president, he could opt us out, but it takes a period of time before it's effective. So we'd be in it for a couple of years before we got opted out. That's number one. Number two, even if we got opted out a couple of years down the road, the rest of the nations would be in. Why? Because they relied upon and followed the United States lead. And that means we're still going to be impacted by it. So while they may not have direct control over the U.S. at that point, a couple of years down the road, they would have indirect control over the U.S. by requiring the other nations that are in the treaty to abide by that treaty, which would include sanctions against the United States in terms of trade, imports, exports, and travel, and so many other things.
Thank you for the call, Greg. Sue is next in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I had contacted my senator back at the end of March of this year and about voting yes for S-444. And the reply I got back, well, she explained some things, but then the last sentence, I need to reply to her, but I don't really know what to say, because here's the quote. The IHR, which is the International Health Regulations, does not provide the WHO with enforcement authority, and assertions that the IHR could interfere with healthcare decisions in the United States are unfounded.
Matt, she's so wrong, that senator.
Yeah, so wrong. They actually do provide that. And, in fact, the current IHRs, if you go to the WHO's website now, with the current IHRs, they say that they are legally binding, even now. So this actually takes it to another level and has a specific implication or statement that they would be binding. So the senator is wrong. And this is why we need to continue to go back to them. And if you want, you can send that to us, and then we can give you some information to respond.
Thank you for the call. And how do they get in touch with you, Matt?
They can email it. You can email it to liberty@lc.org, liberty@lc.org.
And also keep in mind, you've got a petition on your website, Matt?
Right, yeah, lc.org/WHO. That's a petition and also a fax that can be sent to members of the House and Senate.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Lyle in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Matt, I got a question for you. I went to a safety meeting, a trucker safety meeting, and OSHA, I guess, according to them, they're actually guided by the UN right now. I'm wondering how did they do that. They're not OSHA anymore. The OSHUN, and it includes all the criteria for the World Health Organization, and even for our time clock to check in, we have to either fingerprint or voice.
Interesting. Can you send us some of that information? I'd like to take a look at that with regards to...
Yeah, I was wondering because it doesn't say that, well, how they adopted, but it also included the Department of Transportation, the TSA, and the OSHA, which is now OSHA instead of OSHA, Occupational Health and
Health. But it's OSHUN?
Well,
tell you what, if you will send that information to Liberty Council, either if you can scan it into them, if you don't have that ability, Matt, they can mail it.
Yeah, if you go to lc.org, there's the phone number for Liberty Council, the liberty@lc.org email, and also the address. So all those options are available for you to communicate that to us.
Thank you so much for the call. And, Matt, if people need to reach out by phone to Liberty Council, they can do so as well?
Yeah, that phone number would be 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776. Or lc.org is the website. And then for this particular page, lc.org/WHO.
Okay, and with that, we're going to have to finish, stop our phone calls here because we are just out of time. We have 45 seconds left. Matt, what would you like to leave with the listeners on this issue?
Well, don't let somebody else do this for you and you not do anything and just assume somebody else is going to do it. I think we need everybody's voice, and certainly even if you've done it before, thank you, but make your voice heard again right now with faxes and petitions and phone calls. lc.org/WHO. That's lc.org/WHO.
Great. And you've got information on your sites as well pertaining to this very issue.
Absolutely.
Friends, you can check it out again at lc.org. Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Jim.
And friends, again, to reach out to your members of the House and Senate, the number 202-224-3121. The legislation we discussed is S-444 and H.R. 1425. This would say no treaty without going through the U.S. Senate. And that's what the Biden administration is seeking to do, to bypass the constitutional means of the U.S. Senate and instead just put their signature on the line, thus surrendering the sovereignty of the United States to the U.N. Thanks, friends, for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.